I will go ahead and call the order of the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, May 13th. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, you and Shelley got this thing down to a science, don't you?
I'm not going to mess with Shelley.
Blame you.
Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. I see Loris is up.
Good morning. Loris Olson, Ames. Am I good? Am I a good distance away, Shelley? I've got a green light. Okay. Item 8 on today's agenda is both a discussion and consideration or approval of creation of a county outreach and special projects manager position. I believe that this current Board of Supervisors should not pursue creation of this position right now. First, the public always should receive ample notice and time to provide input on the creation of any position that increases the number of full-time permanent staff employed by the county. Yet the public is just learning of this proposal. And I do want to remind everybody that I'm commenting, all I've been able to see is what was on the website. Have not heard the presentation yet. The fact that this proposal would create an entirely new set of duties and a new management position makes it even more important that the public is able to meaningfully weigh in. Second, Story County has a long-time practice of tying most requests for additional permanent full-time staff to the budgeting process unless there's an unusual or emergency situation. At least at this point, to my knowledge, neither of those exist. This board has discussed better communication with the public for 4 years, but really has only activated efforts to coordinate and implement a comprehensive communications plan within the last few months. And department budget workshops, including the one for the Board of Supervisors, were conducted in February, while the county budget for fiscal year 2015 was only certified 2 months ago. Yet there was no mention of this position during the workshops and no funding included in the budget that I can recall from attending those workshops. Third, I am concerned that the primary motivation for creating this position with these specific skills at this time is not better delivery of mandated or basic optional services, but is instead tied to the Board of Supervisors' decision to offer one specific department director several project leadership opportunities outside the scope of his or her traditional job and department duties. To my knowledge, similar opportunities were not created for other department heads. My concern is heightened in that this job description addresses some skills and duties so specifically tied to that one employee that no other candidate, internal or external, will have a realistic chance to qualify for the position. While this is sometimes considered an acceptable practice in the private sector, the creation of special opportunities or jobs for specific employees is not usually acceptable in the government sector. It often leads to lower morale among other employees. In some instances, there could be legal repercussions. Fourth, I am concerned that the creation of this position with this specific combination of tasks at this time will cost Story County taxpayers more money than necessary. There are 13 essential functions in this job description. Three are functions that can be handled by anyone with a bachelor's degree in communications plus 2 years multimedia work experience. No master's needed. A fourth, grant writing, is often handled by communications professionals working in tandem with existing staff in the department seeking the grant. I estimate a wage of about $40,000 per year for that section of the position. The majority of the other 9 functions fall into 2 categories. Either work you are county supervisors are doing yourselves or directly overseeing in return for your collective $200,000 per year in salaries, or administrative work performed by a full-time professional county manager for about $140,000 salary, while the supervisors themselves would limit themselves to policymaking for about $40,000 to $60,000 collectively, per the 2012 Government Restructuring Committee. Designating those duties to a special projects manager will increase county costs by about another $40,000. Once again, that's my estimate based on not hearing the presentation from Melissa and Rick yet. Unless those supervisors are willing to drop their salaries in exchange for not taking on some of these tasks themselves, which brings me to my last point. Creation of this position at this time appears to be in conflict with some Story County citizens' desires to change the configuration and operation of Story County government. The Government Restructuring Committee certainly was not the first entity to call for an increase in the number of supervisors sitting on the board, designation of districts, and reassignment of daily duties to a manager experienced in public administration. Story County citizens have been discussing these changes for decades. Many candidates for supervisor have advocated for change. I am the most recent to call for this trio of transformation. Unfortunately, this proposal for county outreach and special projects manager does not offer the comprehensive administrative change that many of us seek. Yet it is substantial enough that altering the duties after implementation will create problems for both the public and the county staff. There is an election coming up. Board membership could be different in January, and the board's administrative philosophy could evolve, perhaps making this proposal rather rapidly obsolete. Perhaps this is one that we should let the Story County residents decide at the ballot box. Thank you.
Next is consideration of minutes.
I now move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any additions or corrections? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. The minutes have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything additional? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Under consent, we need to add utility permits 1444 and 1445.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The consent agenda has been approved. Public hearing items. Second consideration of Chapter 32, Road Identification and Address Number System of the Story County Court of Ordinances. You don't look much like Charlie this morning, but we'll take you anyway.
On second consideration, we've received no public input, and staff recommends second consideration. We'll be glad to answer. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
We'll open the public hearing at 10:08. If anybody has anything they need to would like to speak on this topic, now would be the time to come forward. Not see anybody moving to the mic. I will close the public hearing and turn to the board.
I'd move approval of second consideration for the road identification and address numbering system.
That third?
Set a third for next week.
Next week, which is, the 20th? Okay. I will second the motion, noting that the third consideration would be on the 20th. Okay.
Got a motion and a second to approve this on the second reading and set the third and final reading for May 20th. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That has been approved on second reading. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of the creation of a county outreach and special projects manager position, Rick Sanders and Alyssa Wignall.
I'll start. I didn't have any idea this one was going to be so much fun this morning. I'm now a little excited. Wayne, probably since you've been on the board, what Story County has seen is duties and responsibilities falling to what was then our planning and zoning director, what under this board has become planning and development director, has continued to grow. There have been items that have continually been added to that portfolio. And most specifically, under the leadership of this board, we've seen a huge growth, huge influx, huge growth of what's been added to that position. This board recognized that fact. I think last year, with a 3% bonus for our director of planning and development for the work over and above that she had done, and it appeared to me that we through last year and through the budgeting process, we kind of moved through, I know for me personally, moved through business as usual. Yeah, we were going to have a special project here or there and you know, need to keep going. But two things really triggered this for me. When we started talking about the visioning exercise that we have now had one meeting on, I think, Leanne, we've had one meeting and multiple other works. And then the second one was this this entire communication plan, including county newsletters, and the fact that all of that fell to Leanne, which I didn't recognize all of that was going to fall into that position. That got me to thinking, well, are we doing what's right for Story County? Do we have our planning and development office really focused and managing the planning and development responsibilities, or has this thing grown to the point that it's time to look at a restructuring? And I really, you know, the agenda says creation of position, and that's in fact what we're coming to you with today. But I really look at this as a reorganization more than that. I don't necessarily look at it as the creation of a position. I look at it as a shift of responsibilities and a refocusing of our planning and development office. So Alyssa was out on maternity leave. We were in the middle of budgeting and a few other things when I started thinking about this. And I think, Alyssa, you can help me with this, but I think on one of your first days back, I came to you and I said, hey, I want to look at, are there enough responsibilities to warrant this reorganization creation, and what would that look like? And Alyssa's been working on it since. And that's the proposal we come forward with. Alyssa, am I missing anything before you go into kind of what you went through? Any questions for me before Alyssa starts? I'm trying to just give you guys a feel for how we got here.
Okay. No, I'll have a comment or two afterward. I hear from Alyssa. Okay. Go ahead.
So, Rick is correct. I think it might have been my first day back from maternity leave. He came to me and said, you know, these are the specific duties that I would like this position to take care of. So, you know, can you do some research, see what other counties do, see what other cities do, and come back with a job description. It took quite a while. I would say it took almost 2 months before this job description was actually developed. I am seeing a lot more emails from other cities and counties looking at a communication specialist, outreach manager for their city or county. There aren't a lot of counties with it. City of Ames does have I can't remember if it's a communication specialist or communication manager. I can't remember what the job title is. The city of West Des Moines just emailed like 2 weeks ago when I was out training asking what county cities have this position. If you have it, you know, they want job descriptions, duties. This encompasses more than just a communication position. It also encompasses project management. Quite a bit is written pretty broadly, so that the board, whatever board is there, can determine what projects, what you want out of this position. And obviously I haven't talked to Wayne or Paul. This is just a draft, so the other two supervisors may have input as far as, you know, what I think this position should also take care of this function for the county. So this is just the start, in my opinion, of looking at this position.
Sure, and let's not be coy at all about this. I am presenting this to you guys as a transfer of Leanne Harder from our planning development director into this position. I'm not talking about creating a position and doing a search. I'm talking about taking Leanne and responsibilities that she currently has, moving her out of planning development, leaving the planning and development responsibilities behind, moving her out of that with some existing responsibilities she has, adding to those to have this position. The second step to that, if this were to be approved, would be, I would recommend asking Alyssa to go down into planning and development and take a look at the work that's necessary, the workload required, and staffing levels. I firmly believe, and I may be proven wrong on this when we look at it, but I firmly believe that when we do that, we're going to see that we're not creating a position. We're going to see that we're going to have two in planning and development rather than three. And that's where I think we are in all this, and that's what I'm coming forward to you with. I don't want to pretend this is something it's not, or It is taking the great work that Leanne has done for this board, recognizing that, and recognizing that there's an ongoing need for that. It's not a, you know, Wayne, we did the goal setting session. Well, were we going to be done there? No, that led to three other things. And then we're doing the visioning. Are we going to be done when we get that? No, that's going to lead to three other things. And this is an ongoing kind of necessity for the county.
Mr. Chair, my comment at this point is one of, I don't disagree with us taking a look at whether it's needed, whether the current job duties and responsibilities mesh with some of the ongoing things that we are trying to move forward as we position this county for the betterment of its citizens to have services available that I think will enhance the overall quality of life. But one of the things that for me today that's different is that because of our role or change, which I certainly have agreed with, where we as supervisors don't have the chance to really sit down and discuss and go through this, it would be premature for me today to actually say, yes, I think we ought to go forward to approve it. What I would rather see us have is a session where the three of us could work with Alyssa, work with Leanne, and anyone else to take a look at all of these things that you have suggested and the programs and services, whether we're talking about, you know, our strategic plan or our comprehensive plan, and recognize that it is something that the existing duties and responsibilities without an additional person. Now, I've felt for some months now that all the different things that we have added to her plate, my concern all along has been, is are we staff to not only carry on planning and development jobs and duties that we've had in the past, but also taking on some of these new things. Now, I know historically that this is part of a visioning that Leanne maybe expressed to me years ago with her education and training. This would have been an area that she would like to have seen the county be able to move, but we were never in a position to do so. So while I'm excited about us looking at it, I don't feel that I have enough information yet to really determine that this is something that we ought to move toward. I'd like to have a way by which we as a board could gain more information. I appreciate Alyssa's role. I appreciate your role. But again, we're talking about creating a position that I think all three of us need to be comfortable with. And while on the agenda when we put something down for discussion and consideration, the consideration might be toward moving forward to whatever the next step is in the planning.
Sure.
To take a look at, you know, what this position would be, what this position would entail, how would the restructuring of the current office be, would we need to look at hiring an additional person, you know, to man that. I would be much more comfortable with that kind of a discussion rather than just saying that, yes, I think right now that we ought to move forward with the restructuring of her duties and responsibilities. But I can certainly see some tremendous benefit from what you're proposing. I can see a lot of benefit from what Leanne has already brought to the table. But I do think that I just believe that I would be more comfortable if we all had an opportunity.
Well, and,
to
and
work
this board traditionally, since we've been together, Wayne, it seems to me we have worked really, really hard to try to build consensus and try to make sure that we all get on the same page. So I think your suggestion is appropriate. It's a solid recommendation. Just walk me through what that would look like. So tell me what what needs to happen in your mind. Clearly, I've been thinking about this for 3 or 4 months. I've been working closely with Alyssa on getting it put together. Tell me
well,
what
well,
would
the second
you.
Step would be is again. See, Alyssa hasn't shared this.
Absolutely,
with us.
No. So, but this is the way we're supposed to do this.
Right.
It's supposed to come to us here where the public can comment,
exactly,
where we can do it all
exactly
out in the open.
And so, my next step would be to have that conversation with her, with Leanne, with you, to be able to understand exactly, you know, what it is that we're envisioning this position would entail. Obviously, the little guidelines and here kind of hits on the high points of what we think this would all do. But I think it involves a lot more than this, and I think there is some merit to it. And then the other aspect that I would make, I think counties in this day and age are looking more and more to visioning for the future. We talked about a few years ago is not necessarily looking at everything on a calendar year-by-year basis, but thinking 3 to 5 years out, even though boards of supervisors could change in that. But I think it's crucial for us to have that thought process and that planning process as a guide. If other supervisors come in and want to change that, that's certainly their purview.
Sure.
But I think it's our role and our mission to look long-term in terms of how we position Story County for the future. And I think that's part of what we have attempted to do over the last couple of years in the direction that we've taken. So while I just would like to figure out a timetable that we could have a work session with Alyssa, and obviously sharing with Leanne and duties and responsibilities and things that are basically going on there, and then bringing this back to us at a later time to actually determine if this is the direction that we would want to go.
Okay.
How about this? Rick has apparently done his research on this.
Right.
And I think it's the left to the two of us to do our responsibility and do our research. I don't know. By having a public work session, which is exactly
it wouldn't necessarily have to be a public work session if Alyssa wants to meet with us.
I would suggest that you and I individually
right
meet with the people that we think that we need to meet with and get the questions answered that we have, and then come back at a specific time on a Tuesday morning and continue this discussion. I mean, like I said, Rick has done his homework.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's up to you and I to
yeah.
do our homework.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem as to the manner and how we do it. I just feel like that I would like to be in a position now to fully understand, you know, this a little bit more and be in a position to say either I think the timing is right for us to do it or the timing is not right. Okay.
And with the two of you, I've had questions in the past. I've had conversations with Leanne over the past 3.5 years since I've been on the board and been the liaison to the Planning and Development Office about the workload. I've had comments from other employees and elected officials about the workload that we have put on, this board has put on the director down there, and where does that fit in with her actual duties as a director of Planning and Development. And, you know, the buzz has been around this building now for the last 3 weeks or months.
Well, yeah, it hadn't been any big secret that I've been working on
about this position. The only thing I would like to remind people is that the three of us are elected to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any other employees or any other elected officials that have questions or concerns about this, I would encourage them to come to any one of the three of us and express those concerns. This is why the three of us sit up here. We're elected to make those decisions. They're elected to run their office, where the employees are elected or hired.
You've got to do what we see as being in the best interest of Story County. You guys have to get there however you get there, and maybe you'll agree with my assessment, maybe you won't, but that's the way we're supposed to work. And so I'm completely comfortable with you guys taking whatever you need to take a look at this and figure out if this is the right direction. I know that Alyssa and I have spent a lot of hours going through this, trying to get something that makes sense. I've visited with Leanne every step of the way. Like I say, I'm not trying to be coy in exactly
right.
what I'm looking at here.
Sure.
But I would actually really, really appreciate you guys digging in, checking our work, seeing if we're missing something, seeing what your assessment is of planning and development. Talk to our staff down in planning and development and see what their feelings are in terms of if we remove these items from their current workload, what's a manageable staff for down there? Because we've got that as a primary responsibility. And let's just get to a good answer. Whatever that, whether that answer is what I believe it is or you guys see something else, let's just get to a good answer.
And I think it's important that we also have the discussion about what the Planning and Development Office looks like in the event that this is approved and Leanne does get transferred, because the way it's laid out now, we're not adding an additional employee.
Yeah, what I would recommend, I'm telling you from my view, we wouldn't be adding a different employee, but I think the responsible thing to do, if this were to get approved, would be ask Alyssa to go down and evaluate the workload, evaluate what we've got going on. She's our human resources director, and let her come back to us with a recommendation. I'm telling you what I see based on trying to pull all this together.
Okay, so let's figure out a timeline. I mean, I don't want to kick this down the road indefinitely.
No, let's get to a decision.
You're going to be gone a little bit.
In June.
Right. Yep. So, and we have a public hearing for a proposed confined animal feeding or operation on the 27th of this month. So that.
How long do you guys need to really dig?
I would probably just need a couple weeks. You know, that's about all I'm looking at. I may not need that long, but just looking at my schedule and some of the things that I've got going, I would be comfortable just to that would give me time to really sit down with Alyssa.
We can certainly put it on for the 27th. I mean, we'll all three here. That's the same day as that public hearing for that CAFO. But
that could be a long meeting. What's the first week in June? What does that look like?
June 3rd is Election Day. How quick is Lucy going to need us out of here?
Well, that's not going to be an issue. That's the evening.
Yeah, they just, because they bring stuff back in here afterwards.
Right.
We'd be all right.
So how about Wayne, if we schedule this for June 3rd to come back before us.
Excellent.
You guys go do whatever research you need to do, and then we'll come back and talk about it. At that point, we'll hold. I know Alyssa had more she wanted to talk about through this, but we can hold all of that for the now. The public has had this document. They have full notice that this is something we're considering. They have full notice that we're going to take it under full consideration on June 3rd. And we, like Paul, like you said, at the end of the day, that's what we're here for.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So sure. We'll need a motion to kind of cover that, since this is a discussion and consideration item.
Yeah, I'd move that we are we tabling this?
No, you're not tabling. You're just.
I move that you guys go take a look at it, right. and we bring it back for consideration on June 3rd.
Right. Okay. Second.
Got a motion and a second that this item come back before this board on June 3rd for discussion and consideration. Anything further?
Nope.
Sandra.
And I just again, Alyssa and Rick, I have no problem with the work that you've done, the idea behind this. So I think that, you know, this is kind of why we are where we are today. And I see so many positive things that we have embarked upon over the last few years has obviously a lot more engaging than what we've done in the past. This is not necessarily the status quo. This is visioning. In an effort to create a better Story County, and I see multiple layers to that, more collaboration amongst our elected officials, department heads. This visioning session is just a tip of the iceberg, but I see it going into so many other areas as we start to look at this as well. So,
well,
I do appreciate
Wayne, if I could, absolutely. Well, and Alyssa put in a lot of. I mean, this was not easy to put together. Alyssa and I spent a lot of time really talking it through and trying to get it all to fit. I just think what I'm hearing here, there, Wayne, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's recognition among the three of us that the work that we've put on, specifically on our planning development director, but the work that this board has brought to the county in terms of our visioning exercises and our goal setting and our communication and all the things, you know, that we came in, I know for me, came in with a primary focus on budgeting and spending and things like that. And I think by any measure, this board has done a great job addressing those things. The next step to me was to try to make sure that we're working on what the future looks like, the capital improvement plan, the goal setting, now the visioning. And it just seems to me that there's recognition among the three of us that we got to do something. Maybe it looks like this, maybe it looks like something else, but the items that we've put on Leanne to this point aren't going away.
No, they're
going to continue to grow, and so we've got to do something, and it's just a question of what that something is.
And I think we've witnessed that growth over the last 3.5 or 4 years. So,
good.
Okay,
no
we have a motion and a second. We've discussed it, and I think Sanders made the motion.
Yep.
Aye.
Button?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. We will take this up again on June 3rd.
Thank you. Look forward to it, Alyssa.
And next is consideration of allowing HRDA to continue life and disability insurance through Story County.
Okay.
Currently, we have two organizations that participate with us for our benefits. They're smaller. Their employee numbers were low. So in the past, and it's been years. It's been like this for years. They've been able to participate in our health, dental, and our ancillary products, our group life and disability. And Wayne might be able to talk to this a little bit more. I know HRDA went out to look for health and dental.
Right.
I don't know if their numbers are going up, if that was the reasoning behind it. I haven't talked with HRDA on this. I know you've been involved. But my understanding is they went out, and when they went to look for group life and disability, due to the fact that they have small numbers, it's difficult for a company to quote them.
Right.
And it would be just because you have a little more risk when you only have 5 to 7 employees,
right,
versus the 310 that we currently have. As far as administration on our part, to have them be on our health or on our, I'm sorry, disability and life insurance, it is minimal. You know, I think there's 6 employees there that have it. So once they're enrolled, we do that. They pay 100% of the premiums. We bill them, and then we administer it just like we do for our employees. So if that's a question, it is minimal. We do it for ISU Extension is the other organization that participates with us. It's not going to hurt our rates. If they stay on or if they no longer participate, that number will not affect our disability or life rates.
Right. Yeah. How this all first came about is, I don't know if it was 2001 or 2002, but under former supervisor, I think this who was serving on the HRDA board, they took a look at the organization, and since we're in the 2080 agreement and so forth, whether or not they could come under one of the county's umbrella insurance plans. And it was determined that Story County would be willing to offer that option. At that time, there were only 2 employees. And so I didn't see, and then when I became very much involved, it stayed that way for a number of years, but within the last 3 years, we've noticed that the numbers have gone up to 4 now to possibly 6, and could possibly even see some additional growth. And I just felt that, like we do, that after so long, that they should go out and test the market to see if there are other options out there. And so we did. I won't mention the name of the agency, but they have contacted an agency. I think it will probably be on our agenda this coming next week, Thursday, which the actual health benefit rates would be lower and better off for HRDA to enter into. However, because of the number of employees, it's the long-term and short-term disability issues that they would not be able to pick up. And so they asked me whether or not Story County may be willing to consider allowing them to at least stay on that portion of our coverage. And so I said, well, what you'll need to do is submit a letter to the chair of the board expressing your desire, we will then analyze it, evaluate it, and then get back to you. I didn't make a commitment one way or the other, other than the fact that we will take a look at it. And then a week ago, I did visit with Alyssa and Jan regarding this and what change, if any, this would take. And as Alyssa indicated, it would not be something that would have a major impact one way or the other. But I do think that whether we, the organization, would end up with 8 or 10 or more or stay where they are right now, that the timing was right for HRDA to begin to evaluate, are there better cost saving by looking elsewhere? And so they have been able to identify that. So that's why it's here on the agenda for us, our consideration. And I certainly am in support of them being able to continue on under the long and short-term disability option.
It's a continuation of something we already do. We do it for another organization as well. And it's got no cost or major time implications to us. Right. Am I seeing that right?
Right. The only thing I would ask is, do we need to put some sort of a sunset on this?
You know, I would recommend that the board say if their numbers increase, that they do take a look at this. As their numbers increase, it would increase the responsibility on our department
exactly.
to administer this program for them. And if their numbers increase, then you know, right now they want to stay on because they have a small number,
right?
And even if they did get short term in life, their premiums would probably be fairly substantial just because of the size of their group. I don't know,
right.
I'm not a broker, and it all depends on the employees that they have,
right.
because they take a look at that. So I would just recommend that, you know, if you approve it, that's good, but that we put something in there that if their numbers do increase, that we do.
Well, I always like a sunset. I mean, these things should not be in perpetuity. There should be an opportunity for any board to come back and take a look, and probably on an annual basis. Does it make sense to continue this not only with HRDA, but with ISU Extension and with any other group that we may do this with? So I just think a standing, Wayne, I don't know how you feel about a standing annual just approved by the Board of Supervisors, continuing.
And I don't know, Alyssa, from the others, on any of our contracts, do we operate any of them on a 2 to 3 year and then we look at renewal, or is there a year-to-year contract as far as our current health insurance and so forth?
The renewals are different. Cigna, the rates, obviously. We're one more year on our long-term and life rates.
Right.
Health insurance is annual. The rates, the dental,
right.
will now be every 2 years. Well,
yeah.
This is a 2-year rate guarantee, and then we'll have to look and see
right.
what we do in 2 years. It just depends. That doesn't mean we can't go out, you know, if for some reason, you know, I go to the board and say, you know what, I'd like to look at others just to see if we can get better rates. We, you know, our population increased or something's changed. We're not locked into anything
mm-hmm.
for that whole 2-year period, but each of them have a little bit different rate. I would recommend every year just
And for me,
something.
It's as simple as it being on the consent agenda every year, but it just gives us an opportunity to address it. It gives any board an opportunity to address it as we go.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. Right.
So then I would make the motion that we continue with HRDA, but we establish a practice where every year, probably in conjunction with budget time would be my preference, every year the Board of Supervisors approves continuing this with anyone. So this would encompass the same thing for ISU Extension.
I would second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to approve this with the addition of a time limit. It can be renewed annually. Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Thanks, Alyssa. Next is agency reports. National Alliance on Mental Illness, Deb Niehoff. Good morning, Deb.
Thank you for the opportunity to give this report, and thank you for your help in funding NAMI's programs. I'm just going to kind of summarize the report that I believe you received last week. NAMI has a mission, three-pronged mission, of providing support and education and advocacy for people living with mental illness and their family members. And Story County has always especially funded the support aspect of that. And for years now, the county has given us money for a loan assistance fund, and that usually is used for things that a person with mental illness may need in kind of an emergency situation that would help them to be able to continue to live independently and to care for themselves. And so every year we give out loans for medications, for utility assistance, things that people may need to keep their job, such as transportation, or you'll see even work clothes this year. Those kinds of things that are immediate needs, and then it's a loan that we ask them to repay with no interest when they are able to. And this year, as in the last few years, the county gave us $3,500, and you may have noticed that we have spent $3,443 of that. So we're pretty much to the end of that. And if any other requests come in, we have a budget line in our own budget, so people won't be turned away. 10 individuals received loans, and I wanted to just share one. It was a person who had really, really wanted to get into independent living for many years and finally was to the point where she could afford the monthly rent. But to look at that deposit, you know, the double rent, that first time, she could not do that. And so through her mental health caseworker, which are the people who contact us, we were able to give her a loan for that deposit. And we don't usually get thank yous, but for that one, we got a very sincere thank you. She was able to manage her dream of having her own place and already had set up how she's going to start repaying that loan. So thank you for that. Something that you picked up just about a year ago was supporting our mental health wellness center. We started that 3 years ago, and every weekday afternoon we have programs for individuals living with mental illness that really focus on things that are good for mental health recovery. And when you listen to my list, you'll say, oh, well, those are things that I do so that I stay healthy. Things like exercise, writing therapy, nutrition, speakers talking on issues like sleep. We have art therapy and a number of art programs because our folks really feel like art is a way where they can almost feel the shift in their brain. They're focused on that art, and that's where their focus is and not on the challenges that their mental illness bring. So we've had, since July 1, 74 different individuals come. Some of them come once. Many of them come every day. So it's just, you know, some people come to check it out to see if it's helpful or not, and others find this is their reason to get up in the morning, is to come and to be with their friends there. Average attendance in a month is over 200 people. So last year, 13-14, the county gave $3,000, and 14-15, it's $4,500, and we appreciate that very much. I am open to any kinds of questions that you might have on other things that NAMI does or how we are using this money.
Talk about your new location, and do you find it's accessible to the clients as well? You know, when I came for the grand opening or the open house for the Historical Society, I really hadn't realized that you all were upstairs there. And so I kind of took a tour of that and really liked the location. But can you comment a little bit about the traffic and the accessibility from your standpoint? Has it been a positive for you?
Yeah, we're at 416 Douglas Avenue, which is the Historical Society building, and the Wellness Center had been on the main floor. And when the Historical Society expanded, they asked if we'd be willing to put everything on the second floor. My office was already up there. And they offered, I mean, it was wonderful. They did not change the rent, even though it was a little more space. And they came in, took a wall down, put in new carpeting, painted. So it's just a really, really beautiful space, very open, windows that open. And, yeah, second floor, we wondered if that would be a problem. And so before we even agreed to it, we talked to some of the people. And there's an elevator. And so that makes it very easy for people who have any kind of mobility issues to be able to get upstairs. And because the space itself is more open, once they're in the center, it's much easier to get around. We have a woman in a wheelchair who had a really hard time because the one downstairs was three smaller rooms, and now we're in one large room. So the accessibility is good. We have a sign now on the outside of the building, which they hadn't allowed us to do before, but we have that now. You know, it's not the off-the-street traffic that people see it and just come around the corner and come in, but most of the time we don't get that kind of visiting anyway.
Do you know if we have clients from outside of Ames, pretty much, and other communities accessing the services there? And
yes.
If there are potentially transportation issues, have you had any of this brought to your attention?
We have people from Colo, Nevada, and Huxley that I'm aware of. There had been some issues, especially when HRTA kind of changed to, instead of just picking people up and doing it individually, now like in Nevada, it's like every 2 hours.
Right.
And
right.
So there was a person that was very difficult for, but she now has a worker through some agency who's able to bring her in exactly at the time she wants to be there and leave at exactly that time.
Good.
So
okay.
That's been helpful.
All right, good. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I was just going to ask if she'd share with everybody where the location was, and you've got that covered. So,
I also just wanted to mention that things will be changing in July. I think the funding will come through the new redesigned region. The other thing that will be changing is that a lot of our people will be getting their services through the integrated health homes, and that will probably up the participation because that has a segment of the three people on those teams. One is a peer support specialist, and their job is to help people with mental illness connect to community resources. And actually, one of the women who's going to be working as a peer support specialist has been real involved in our organization and said, I'm going to be bringing people a lot. And so, you know, people will know more about it. We'll get a chance to come and visit with their peer support specialist, and if they feel comfortably, hopefully continue coming.
Okay, thank you.
Deb, we're so appreciative of the work you and NAMI do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, departmental reports, Conservation Director Mike Cox. Morning, Mike.
Can we swim in Dakin's Lake yet?
Can we get a boat in her yet?
In there if you'd want. That's coming along. That is coming along. You know, this morning I just wanted to briefly talk to you about some exciting things here. We've got a lot of success stories, and I want to share some of those with you. But before I do that, I just want to say how appreciative I am for the working relationship between the Board of Supervisors and the Conservation Board. I think that relationship is a very effective and a strong relationship, and it's really enabling a lot of additional services for our residents and additional opportunities, and it's wonderful. We hear that regularly, so thank you. First off, you mentioned Dakin's, so let me jump in the water there. We're still waiting to get this year's contractor on the ground. Some initial work has been done. We need dry weather. So, blessed is the rain, and we also need some dry weather to get that project done. So good on one hand and delays us on the other. So I guess the first step is really getting the boat ramp poured and some concrete done up there so we can finish raising the elevation of the lake. Right now the lake is 10 feet below where it will be at normal pool. So that means right now there's max depth 14 to 16 feet out there currently. And so we'd like to get that raised. Frankly, one of the setbacks we've had is our fall seeding. We just weren't blessed with good germination conditions. over the winter and early spring. And so we haven't had good seeding success. We are going back and reseeding everything now. So that's being done. We've identified a few tiles that were not found in our phase one construction that were draining some of the wetlands we created into the new lake, and so we've corrected some of those situations. I think thus far there's been four tiles found that we did not know about through phase one. So we'll continue to, I'm sure, discover some new things here and there. But having said that, the contractor is set to start the build. The footings for the buildings there, I'm going to say, within 2 weeks. Again, dependent on weather. And that contractor is going to be the one performing the work on the footings, whereas the boat ramp is a subcontractor that he's working with. So anyway, we've got several subs on this project this time. Also with Dakins, we were successful in getting a Trees Forever grant that will help with some of the plantings there, some of the tree plantings, the prairie plantings, so that'll be that's a nice addition. I hesitate to say a number. I think it's around $15,000 for that grant that'll cover a fair amount of some of that work. So that's very nice. We also received a Native Plant Society grant to do some of the prairie seeding as well. So tremendous grant support on that. As far as the next project, I guess, is the WERB project, and I can't remember the last time I spoke here if we had received that grant or not. I think most of you know about that. WERB is a Watershed Improvement Review Board. It's a state review board under the Department of Ag and Land Stewardship. We did submit a grant application for a project at the Hickory Grove Watershed. We received that grant, and so tremendous news. We'll be moving forward on that project now. You're familiar with the septic component of that watershed project, and I won't spend time there, but you're familiar with it. We've had great successes there, and Margaret is wonderfully coordinating that end of the work. I am in discussions with an engineering firm on getting the securing their services for engineering the stream bank stabilization, the pond construction, et cetera, that will be part of this project. So we are moving forward there. The grant is, give or take, a $600,000 project, and some of that will be provided as cost share from private individuals. So 45 of that is cost share on septics from homeowners. And then there's some other private cost shares as well. But the money coming in through this project is going to be somewhere around $500,000. So wonderful opportunity, and we're really excited about that. We have identified that phase two of our watershed improvements would be continuing that stream bank stabilization from where we end on this phase one project all the way to the lake. So that's about a 3,500, give or take, 3,500 linear feet of stream in there, in that section. And we have some preliminary discussions with the DOT to use DOT's mitigation project from DOT to do that work. So tremendous news. Hope that goes through, and if that's the case, then DOT will fund that whole section. So we're still working through that process, and we'll see how it pans out. But tremendous opportunity to maybe get phase two of that watershed project done. So let's see, moving on. We're checking off the FEMA repairs from last year. We've got a few of those done this spring. We've got some larger ones yet to do, namely on the Heart of Iowa Trail. So we're moving forward with that. We've had some contractors get in and do some ditch clean out and some culvert clean out, and we have more of that to do this summer. So we'll be marching forward with that. Few successful events we've had. We've had the Spring Partners Festival just this last time flies. I think it was this last Sunday or the Sunday before. We had about 200 to 250 people in attendance. We had wonderful support from many different organizations in the community that came out and helped us with activities. We had kids crafts, and we had fishing clinics, and we had paddling clinics, and all kinds of things that were happening there. Very good event, very good turnout from people. We also had a Story County Conservation Partners Association appreciation event over the last few months, and that went very well. We had about 60 people in attendance for that. Super group of folks that support conservation, so very thankful for them. As well, we had a volunteer appreciation event and had probably about the same number of people for that. So those both went very well. I think I've mentioned before our volunteer program and the successes we've had there, the number of hours that the volunteers are committing to us. It's essentially the equivalent of 3 full-time people right now. That's incredible. Let's see, then moving on, we're fortunate enough to be able to host the it's the NAI. It's a region. It's a National Association of Interpreters. That's the NAI conference that we're hosting a regional conference here in 2015. So next year, we're going to be hosting that. Probably be 200, 250 people in attendance at that event. So nice opportunity for us. Nice opportunity to. At that conference here close to central Iowa and to Iowa period, and to make it available for educators. As far as our education program goes as well, we're taking sign-ups right now for summer camps. We're hosting 18 summer camps this year, and sign-ups are going really well. I think there's 8 of those camps full already, so they do fill up fast, and I anticipate that all the camps will end up filling up. So that's going well. Those camps start June 9th, I believe, so give our naturalists about a week prep time from the time of school trips to the time of camp starting. So we also just had a college student finish a survey that was looking at primarily trail users but park users, and asking them for their thoughts on their user satisfaction, on what they'd like to see on trails, etc. There were 700 respondents to that survey, so it went very well. And I'll have that student just presented it to the Conservation Board last night, so if anyone's interested, I'll have a full report on that.
The 700 responses seems substantial to me.
It is substantial, and I guess part of that is a world of advertising and social media now, and elicited a lot of our responses.
How long did he gather responses, or she? How long did the student gather?
Oh, I want to say it was a month.
So in 1 month, gathered 700.
Months, yeah. I'm not sure exactly how long.
Paul, you know the numbers better than me. Government restructuring in a year gathered 93 responses. Is that right?
I think that was about it. It was less than 100, I know that.
It was an incredible response rate. And so there's lots of good information out there. Very happy to share that more with you. So speaking of that, one of the things that showed in this survey was we've got a lot of people that are willing to come out and help on trail maintenance, and we call them our team days. That's but essentially those are trail maintenance volunteer days. And we've been averaging, about 30 people in attendance at those events. We have one or two staff members there, and then the balance are all volunteers. And they've just been doing an incredible amount of work, working along trails on throughout the county. A lot of the work is along the Skunk River Greenbelt, doing projects as far as just, you know, sometimes it's just easy kind of, I shouldn't say easy. It's brush clearing. It's all hard work. And then sometimes working on some bridges, and they did a bridge installation for us this spring, and so they do a lot of work, and that number has been growing. I think there have been a couple of times where we've had close to 50 people in attendance at those events. So just wonderful to see that kind of support out there. People want those kinds of opportunities, and they're willing to put some sweat equity into it. So other than that, summer's hitting us. We had a full weekend last weekend at Hickory Grove. The campground was full. So summer is upon us. This week's temperatures might say otherwise, but that's going to be upon us soon. So we've got summer staff starting next week, and so we're going to be in full summer mode here very shortly. So the last thing I want to mention is, again, I told you I'd talk about some success stories. I think you're probably all familiar with this. The legislature passed a $25 million REAP budget, and right now it is awaiting signature on the governor's desk. And one of the reasons that's $25 million right now is that this is the 25th anniversary of REAP. And with that funding, that's going to probably mean that we'll receive, Story County will receive somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 out from REAP this year, or 50 to 60, somewhere in that neighborhood. We don't know for sure. Anyway, that is historic. That's the first time REAP has been funded, fully funded, since its inception. Again, I think that's wonderful. We have a lot of important REAP projects or REAP-funded projects in the county, many of not just county proper uses REAP, but many of our cities use REAP funds to do important projects in the cities. So it's wonderful news, and I hope the governor keeps that in there. So.
Mike, you mentioned as you started that how appreciative you were of the relationship between the Board of Supervisors and the Conservation Board. I think goes right back. We're appreciative of the relationship as well. But a huge part of that is the outstanding leadership that you provide to conservation. So I just want to take a minute to thank you for your work. We're getting a lot of good things done in Story County, and it's because of you and your staff. And that makes it easier for the two boards to get together and see eye to eye. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
That takes us down to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
Met this morning with Deb. Normally I would meet on Monday. We talked via phone yesterday while I was in San Diego, but
glad you came back.
She did have a few things we wanted to talk about. Tonight on the city council agenda, there will be a discussion. HRTA is talking about its service that they took over for Dial-A-Ride, and there was a survey that citizens submitted, and I think that will probably be shared, and just overall direction of how the joint programs is working. So I am going to plan to try to attend that meeting with the city council tonight. We also talked about there is going to be a 2080 agreement brought to the board here in the near future that really looks at the case management program. As you're aware, there are some changes that are taking place under case management. We want to particularly take a look at the liability issues, and she's working with Jessica in regard to that. And
Wayne, that's involved in Marshall County as much as anybody.
Yes,
is that
right. And there are three counties that will probably be involved. Marshall right now has opted not to be part of it, but they may in the future because of the overall transition. We also talked about the cost reporting. This is the one that really does involve the three counties. And the rate setting dealing with the 23% of the Medicare indirect costs was mentioned as well. And then just a little follow-up. I'll be doing a little follow-up later with Ron and CLP and Susan regarding jail diversion and how that program is moving forward and so forth. Then a couple of other items. And it made sense, and this is something that I wanted to ask the board. Deb asked, have we thought about coming up with kind of a statement to the general public, a lot of the clients, regarding the services that, or in other words, what direction that we see that is basically taking place. She says, we know that it's mentioned in the board meetings. Ron is very much aware of it. But a lot of the clients don't necessarily listen to the board proceedings. And even amongst the region, and just to make sure that everybody had a little bit of a understanding, and our feeling all along is that the clients do not need to be thinking about that they're going to have to go elsewhere for services, that services are still going to be our primary focus and concern, that no matter what direction CLP takes on in the future. But she thought that maybe if we might come up with some type of a general statement to the public. And
Wayne,
I thought that sounded like a good idea, and I wanted to mention it to you.
If it's appropriate to ask you to do this, how about if you and Deb and Jessica draft a resolution just based on what this board has said all the way through. I mean, we're what I've heard us say regularly is we're committed to ongoing services. We're committed to limited impact to any of the clients. We're committed, you know, committed to certain things. And it seems to me that there's the potential anyway for a resolution to come out of there. Paul, what do you think?
I think that's a good idea. I was going to make the suggestion that you. You work with Deb and
yeah, well, yeah. I told her that I would bring it to your attention this morning, and I thought it was a great idea.
Absolutely,
and that we would get together with someone to and her.
Well, and we've been on the record plenty
right,
of times
exactly.
with where we stand as a
right,
board.
Right,
we should be able to formalize that and something simple and concise that can be shared.
Right, great. Thank you. Good. So that's all.
Mm-hmm. Pass.
Went to the consultation meeting last night for the city of Ames for a proposed annexation for the help me out here ISU
Research Park.
Thank you. And met with Charlie Kuster and his name escaping right now, the new planning director over there. But the board has 7 days if they want to make any proposed changes to the city. I've got the map on my desk if you two guys want to take a look at it. And if not, then within 30 days from yesterday, then we'll have a resolution that comes in front of us. Whether we support it or how we want to fall on that. So that's all I had.
Okay.
Next public forum, number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not see anybody moving towards the mic. Announcements from the Supervisor Wayne.
There were a lot of exciting things that took place in San Diego. Obviously, workers' comp was a main issue. We were looking at our learning more about what are some of the major causes of some of the injuries that the entities do have. And also understanding of the reserves that are currently there and what dollar amount is too much, something that we will be, as a IMWCA board, looking at when we have our strategic plan, and whether or not you would increase the discount rate back to members or what have you. And then one thing that really stuck with me, and we talk about safety and making sure that all of our employees get home safe, and they said, we need to be thinking about adding health to that, health and safety. And there was a report that really struck home, said that people who get up in the morning and exercise and work out and so forth, but yet they come and sit down in their office for 4 hours at a desk without ever getting up, negates all of the activity and the work that they've done earlier that morning. And more businesses are looking at ways that they can engage their staff and get people up after a while, you know, moving around in their office, even if they can go outside for a short walk. But having some of the kiosks or computers where it's a stand-up, not everybody's always sitting at their desk, makes all the difference. And they've been able, in some counties where they have implemented this, they've had a tremendous success ratio in terms of employees' health and wellness and so forth. And I got to thinking about, I know here, like Treasurer's Department at our recorders, you know, their staff are up all the time. But I wonder, and I wanted to present this to some of our other department heads and so forth, to look at how often or how long does some of our employees actually just stay at their desk in a given day without really getting up and engaged in doing some things, and whether or not we could create some type of an environment to provide that from a health and safety standpoint. And this is something that our safety committee could help promote as well. But that really made a big difference. And so here I was up that morning working out.
And you went and sat down.
And then I went and sat down. But luckily they did give us some breaks a little bit, so they didn't keep us, you know, more than a couple hours at a time before they gave us a break.
You know, they make the desk now that can elevate, where you
yes.
can change the level so
right.
you can stand up and work. But I also saw a perfect desk for you. They make a desk now that has a treadmill attached to it.
Ah.
And they say you can get on there and set it at like 1 mile an hour and just do your work while you're walking all day.
Hey, do I need at least one other vote to get that in the budget?
You might be able to get me on that one, not on the iPad, though.
Okay. That's all I have.
Pass.
I'll pass also. That takes us to adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.